Please do take a seat. Okay, we are going to look at a very interesting passage this evening. So I encourage you to open it up in the pew Bibles there. We're in Matthew 15, and you'll find the passage on page 929. Okay, so Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Page 929. So I'm going to read it to you first, but actually what I'm going to do this evening is just a little bit different from what I'd normally do. What I want to do is take us through this passage verse by verse. But to give you a picture of what we're looking at, let me read it to you as a whole right now. So leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. In my house at the moment, it's extremely quiet. Richard is away. He's at Young Life Camp, managing that camp for the teenagers that arrive tomorrow. So that's really exciting. But it means that I've been on my own all week and will be for the next 4 weeks. So it's really quiet in my house. So one of the things I like to do is put the TV on. I watch an awful lot of TV while Richard's away. And actually, it's not that I sit down and watch it. It's more that it's just on in the background. But there are certain TV programs that I will not watch. I won't even have them on in the background. Things like, and you might have seen some of these, you might even love some of these programs, X Factor, and Britain's Got Talent, and things like that. All these reality show programs. And I really don't like them because there's something in me that goes, "Oh, I'm just so embarrassed for you right now. Why would you do that to yourself?" And it just makes me cringe. Well, I have to tell you tonight that this passage is like those TV programs for me. I read the Gospels a lot. As an evangelist, the Gospels are my bread and butter. I read them a lot. And this is one passage that actually I skip a lot because it makes me cringe. It makes me so embarrassed. Because the Jesus I see in this passage is not, I think, the Jesus who I know. Now, I have to say that in my preparation of this passage, that's been changed. But initially, I skipped this passage every time because it doesn't show me the Jesus who I think I know. It makes me embarrassed. It makes me cringe. In fact, it makes me angry for that woman that Jesus would ignore her. So I hope that tonight you'll understand this passage a little better, as I have. I've really actually got an awful lot out of studying this passage, and it's really changed my perception of it. So I hope to convey just a little bit of that to you tonight. And as I say, what I want to do is take us through it verse by verse, just so that we don't miss any of the great details that are in this passage. All right, so if you've got your Bibles, do keep them open and you can track with me. Okay, I'm just going to move this up because I'm going to keep popping. There we go. Okay. Verse 21. I'm going to read each little bit to you again. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." So we're introduced to this woman. The Bible study that I was looking at calls her the Syrophoenician woman. This passage calls her the Canaanite woman. We don't know anything more about her than that. We're not told her name, her situation in life. What we do know is that she's a mother who is desperately concerned. And we also know that she's a Gentile. Jesus was a Jew. So immediately, there's a barrier between them. Jews and Gentiles did not mix. For her, a Gentile, to approach a Jew was astounding. Added to that, she was a woman. For a woman to go and speak to a man who she did not know was unheard of. In fact, for most rabbis of the time, they would not even speak to members of their family in public. So for Jesus, who is this Jewish rabbi, for this stranger, Gentile woman to come into his presence and speak to him was highly unusual. But this woman comes to Jesus. And she uses what is a traditional cry of beggars. "Have mercy on me." As you look throughout the Gospels at other incidents where Jesus encounters beggars, they cry out, "Have mercy on me." And it's their way of saying, "Give me your mercy. Give me your tithe." So this woman comes to Jesus. And she says, "Have mercy on me." Now, strangely, she's asking for Jesus to have mercy on her, not her daughter at this point. Have mercy on her, because she is the one who sees the effects daily of her daughter's situation. She goes on to ask, "My daughter is possessed by a demon." So we find out what is the root of her problem, but she asks Jesus to have mercy on her. She approaches Jesus and she calls him Lord. She also uses another very uncommon title, actually, of Jesus. She calls him Son of David. So we know that this woman has heard about Jesus. She knows something about him. She doesn't come to him not knowing anything. She's heard about him. She's heard about his compassion, about his power. So she comes knowing that he can do something about her situation. Let's have a look at what happens next in verse 23. Jesus did not answer a word. That's astounding to me, that a woman comes to him in such desperate need. I mean, I can only imagine that she is upset. And Jesus says nothing. Is it because Jesus is indifferent to her? Is it because Jesus is rejecting her? It's really important that actually as we look at this passage, we remember that it isn't just Jesus and this woman in this scenario. Jesus is also surrounded by his disciples. And in actual fact, it's almost the disciples who are the key figures here, because it's the disciples that Jesus is teaching in this moment. So Jesus decides to give this woman a critical test, to give her one of the most difficult exams that he has ever given to a person. We see throughout the Gospels that Jesus gives other exams to people. When he encountered the gentleman at the healing pool, who had been going there for years and years, he gives him the test and he says, "Do you want me to heal you?" It's a test. Because in actual fact, he has always earned a living by being sick. So it's a test when he says, "Do you want me to heal you?" He gives another test to Bartimaeus. When Bartimaeus comes to him, Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, in this scenario, Jesus doesn't ask a question. Actually, he's silent, which is the biggest test of all. And I don't think that Jesus does this to be mean. I really want you to hear me on that. I think actually in this, Jesus is really honouring this woman because he sees that she has such great faith. And so that he can teach his disciples, he's going to test her. There's that thing of a coach won't put a runner into a race that they don't desperately want to win. You don't put someone into an easy race so they get an easy win. You put someone into a difficult race so they've really got to try hard. That's what Jesus is doing right here. He gives her a really difficult test to prove her faith because he knows that she's got something amazing. So, Jesus pretends indifference as he sets the stage for what he's going to teach the disciples. So by ignoring, by being silent to what the woman has said, Jesus is actually endorsing something that the disciples believe. As I said to you, women did not approach men. Rabbis would not speak to their own family in public. That's just something that Jewish people held to. It's one of their deep-seated beliefs. And as Jesus ignores this woman, he's endorsing what those disciples believe. And it shows in the disciples' reaction. Let's see what happens next. The disciples in verse 23. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." The disciples here aren't actually very concerned by this woman who's upset and has come in great need. They're more concerned with the fact that a woman would approach a man, a rabbi. How dare she? So Jesus ignores her. This isn't an uncommon experience for the disciples. This is something that Jesus has experienced with them before. In one of the passages in John 4, the disciples come back to find Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman by a well. And they say to him, "What do you wish?" And what they're actually asking there is there something we can do for you, Jesus? Do you want us to get rid of this woman for you? And that's the same thing that they're asking Jesus here when they say, "Send this woman away." They're showing that they openly desire for Jesus to send the woman away. So I think it's really interesting, this entire text. It shows right here, in these, just what have we read, three verses, it shows several things that are taking place all at the same time. We've got Jesus, who is irritated by the disciples' approach to women. We've got a woman who comes with great love and compassion for her daughter and confidence that Jesus can do something about it. And we've got Jesus who decides to use this situation as a teaching experience to challenge those beliefs that the disciples have, the prejudices of his disciples. And in the process, he really gives that woman a chance to explore the great depths of her courage and her faith. So let's take a look at verse 24. Jesus answers, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." So not only has he ignored the woman, he's now given a voice to the prejudices of the disciples and conveys to them that of course he would want to get rid of this woman. Again, this is shocking to me, that Jesus would say that of course he wants to get rid of her. Why would he have time for her? He tells them that she isn't part of his missional mandate. He's here for Israel. He's not here for the Gentiles. And this part must have been followed by such a pregnant pause, as everyone is just silent. What's the woman going to do? Is she going to take this subtle hint that Jesus has given, that actually he doesn't want anything to do with her? She doesn't do anything. She doesn't leave. She doesn't take the hint, because actually her faith is deeper than that. She knows and believes that Jesus doesn't mean it. She knows and believes that Jesus has compassion for everyone, for her, a woman, a Gentile. Jesus has compassion for her. So she passes the first stage of Jesus' epic test for her. But the second stage quickly comes. In verse 25, we read, "The woman came and knelt before him. 'Lord, help me,' she said." Whether it's her concern for her daughter or her absolute belief in Jesus' compassion that moves her, she gives up her standing position and comes with absolute humility to kneel before Jesus. She casts away all titles of Lord and Son of David, and instead she comes with a really simple plea. "Lord, help me." Her response to Jesus' silence and his affront to her is really magnificent. Isn't that amazing? That she believes in Jesus so much that she would instead press further with her request. She is persistent and she is bold, because she knows that Jesus is compassionate. So she gets down on her knees and she asks, "Lord, help me." So far in Jesus' ministry, he has shown over and over again that he has compassion. He has fed people, he has healed people, he has raised people from the dead. He has compassion. And this woman comes knowing that Jesus will have compassion on her. He's demonstrated his compassion so much that even his disciples, with their prejudices, would not have missed the fact that Jesus is compassionate. And in this scenario, I think only the hardest of hearts would be unmoved by what this woman is doing as she kneels before Jesus. So the question is, will Jesus go beyond his mandate? Will he go beyond the fact that he's there to save Israel? And will he help this woman? Well, unfortunately, not yet. So as we see in verse 26, he replies to her desperate and compassionate plea, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." He insults her. The children he's talking about is Israel. "Why would I take the food that is of my chosen children and toss it to the dogs of the Gentiles?" He insults her in the worst way possible. In the Middle East, the dogs were just as bad as pigs. They were the lowest of the low. Dogs weren't kept as pets. I have a lovely dog, Flick. But they wouldn't have kept a dog in the house. Dogs instead were as untrained guard dogs. They would run loose and they would scavenge in the bins. And he calls this woman a dog. Again, I'm shocked. I'm embarrassed. I'm angry for her. But actually, what Jesus does is pretty clever. He does this thing, it's a Latin term. It's called reductio ad absurdum, which basically means, because I don't read Latin, I don't know what that means, but it means taking a point to the most extreme length to prove that it is ludicrous. So he takes the disciples' prejudice against Gentiles to the furthest point, calling this woman, who is on her knees, desperately crying out, a dog, in front of the disciples who hold this prejudice. And in doing so, he shows them that this is absurd. This prejudice that you have towards this woman is absurd. And he does this because he knows that this woman has great faith. Somehow, through all of this, she has clung on to the fact that Jesus is compassionate and powerful and will help her. She has been met with silence, with insults, and yet, what happens next is brilliant. In verse 27, she says, "Yeah, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Somehow, in the middle of this scenario, she makes a quip and she answers back to Jesus and says, "Actually, even one crumb that fell from your table would be enough for me right now." In the midst of all of that, "Even one crumb from your table is enough for me, Lord." She replies, and she has passed the test with flying colours. She turns the request, turns that statement into a renewed request for Jesus to help her. She basically says, "Jesus, do you have a crumb that is for me and my daughter?" Now, throughout all of this, the disciples are watching and they're listening. And I wonder if the disciples have ever seen such a bold profession of faith in the face of such ridicule. Her response is a deadly blow to their prejudice, both against women and against Gentiles. And in this scenario, a whole new paradigm of what they see God as is opened up. Suddenly they see that God goes beyond barriers. He goes beyond men and women. He goes beyond Gentile Jew. You think of all the barriers that we put up between ourselves. God goes beyond all of those. And in the process, this woman's faith is immortalized in the Gospels, so that we would know. But actually, this really weird scenario, this thing that perplexes us and causes us to question, actually has something to teach us. So finally, in verse 28, Jesus says to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So we see that she has had great faith. She's got confidence in the person of Jesus as the agent of salvation for everyone. She confesses that he is Lord and Master. And an element of her faith has been to pay any price. Coming to Jesus was of great cost to her. Not only did she have to cross barriers, she was treated with silence and insults. Coming to Jesus was costly to her. But she came to receive the grace of Jesus. And I wonder this evening, when we come before Jesus, do we do it at cost to ourselves? Sometimes when we pray, we are met with silence. Do we push on like she did? Do we press further? Do we keep asking? Are we persistent and are we bold? Do we put ourselves out? Do we get down on our knees and humble ourselves before Jesus? Do we even put in the time to pray persistently? I know I don't always. Sometimes when I pray and I'm met with silence, I think, well, obviously not then. But actually, is God asking us to push further, to demonstrate our faith, that we know that Jesus has compassion and power to help us? Will we push further? Or do we come to prayer expecting it to cost us nothing at all and for it to all be on Jesus? So we see that the silence with which Jesus began is now broken with a word of healing power. The powerful words that Jesus speaks are a divine act, and the daughter is healed. How amazing is that? So this is a character study of this Syrophoenician woman. And I hope that you understand that passage a little better. I hope I've explained it well for you. In case not, then here are some things that we can learn about this woman. This woman has great humility, so much so that she lowers herself, humbles herself to kneel before Jesus. She has such deep faith, knowing that a small crumb from Jesus would be enough to heal her daughter. She has a deep motherly love for her daughter. And her demonstration of this is to go and request assistance from Jesus. This woman is persistent, more than I've seen by any other person in the Bible. She is persistent in the face of such adversity. And she is relentless. So what can we take away from this encounter? What does this actually teach us? Well, first of all, it teaches us that Jesus just throws away barriers. He doesn't work with barriers at all. She's a woman. He spoke to her. She's a Gentile. He spoke to her. And it might not seem a massive lesson for us here in the West, but actually, every day, people face discrimination and persecution for who they are, whether that's because of their gender, their race. But actually, there are so many things that are up for grabs that people face persecution for. Yet Jesus steps across every single one of those with his compassion. I hope that's a challenge for us, to not put up barriers between us and other people, to actually examine, well, what are my prejudices? What would Jesus do about that? We learn that Jesus compliments this woman by giving her a seriously tough exam. As I said, a good coach honours a good runner by putting her in a decent race. This story, therefore, teaches us about persistence in prayer. Do we come with boldness before God? Or are we put off by the silence? Do we turn away when things don't go our way? Or do we get down on our knees, knowing that Jesus hears us? Don't know about you, but in my prayer life, Jesus has rarely answered me straight away. But actually, this account shows us that persistence, faith, knowing that Jesus is compassionate and powerful, is what we should be doing. Coming to God over and over again. And finally, this account really shows us that Jesus cares about this woman. He cares about her daughter. And in actual fact, what it really shows us is that he cares about his disciples. He cares about them enough to teach them a hard lesson. And I think what we can draw from that is that Jesus cares about us. So much so that he would hear our prayers and act for our good. In fact, the depth of Jesus' compassion is just so unknown to us. It's unfathomable. How on earth could we get to the very depths of Jesus' compassion? And if we can't begin to understand how deep his compassion is, how on earth can we expect to understand how he would act? This account is strange. I never understood it until I started studying it this week. So I'm really grateful for that. But it shows me that actually Jesus is so compassionate that he hears us, that he wants us to come to him with persistence and boldness in prayer. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song. And I don't mind if I am the only one singing this song, because you're sitting and you're thinking about, well, actually, what is it that God wants me to be persistent in? What do I need to bring before God? What are the things that I've been praying about that I've let go because I've met with silence? I hope that this passage has encouraged you to keep going in prayer, because Jesus is compassionate and he is powerful and he does hear.